It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Chindola, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Afternoon, thank you very much for having me.
We're talking about testing and strengthening faith. Just first, before we even get there, talk to us about the definitions. Just give us the definitions of test and strengthening, and then faith, then we can get into it.
Okay. Thank you very much. First of all, faith and prophecy, these are the primal elements that we are talking about today. Faith, of course, according to what the Bible indicates in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, is the substance of things that hoped for. You know, things that have not yet been manifested, but we still believe that they will actually take place. Faith and prophecy, I can indicate gladly that these are two things that are concomitant. They move together. Without faith and without prophecy, they do not move together. So they come into this in the same package. One writer says, prophecy is the road that leads you to your destination, but faith is the vehicle that takes you there.
Okay.
So these things are two that move together.
Okay, so define what it means to test, because we have had a lot of people confusing and conflating testing and tempting. So give us the correct definition of a test. What is a test there, especially in the context of testing our faith?
Okay, thank you very much. In the context of testing, I would give an example of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 to 16, where the Bible helps us to understand we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being.
Okay.
But God will be faithful to you. He will screen, filter, severity, nature, timing of every test or trial you can face. So test is just an opportunity that God gives us to see how faithful we are to His timing, to His goodness, and to His mercies.
Okay. All right. So how do believers respond when prophecies don't seem to align with their expectations, or when the predicted events do not unfold as anticipated?
When somebody believes in something that is to happen, let me just make mention that what somebody believes is going to happen has a way of shaping and influencing their lifestyles.
Yeah.
And so when that which they believe will happen does not happen, it actually shakes and shatters the life and the faith of a believer.
Right.
When a believer encounters a situation where prophecy doesn't seem to align with their expectations, their responses can vary. In the case of 1844, to those who are familiar with the Millerite movement,
right?
This was a group of Christians who believed that Jesus would be returning in the year 1844.
Right.
And because of that reality, they had anticipation.
Yeah.
So some believers may reevaluate their understanding, as some did of their prophecy. Some may seek a deeper understanding of the meaning of their prophecy, like Hiram Edison and others, as they did. So people will respond in different ways. Some will be shattered, as actually the movement at this time was split, because people were in a dismal and dire situation.
Right.
Some people would even think maybe our prophecies, our worship, our walk with God is just a cynical fig leaf that tries to deny us of certain things. And so when prophecies don't align with expectations, doubts creep into the mind. Fear invades the mind.
Yeah.
And we begin to question,
right,
and challenge our walk with God.
Okay. All right. So can the apparent failure of a prophecy lead to a crisis of faith, for example, or does it provide an opportunity for believers to deepen their understanding of divine timing and purpose? I heard you mentioning Hiram Edson there. Just clarify.
Yeah, the failure of, for sure, the failure of a prophecy can indeed lead to crisis of faith. for some individuals. Mm-hmm. It may challenge their beliefs and expectations when prophecy doesn't seem to align with what was anticipated.
Right.
You know, it creates a space of doubt, confusion for believers. This can be difficult, unsettling experience, potentially even shaking the foundation of one's faith.
Right, right.
You know, when a foundation is shaken, it means that the very bedrock upon which people base their faith
right.
has collapsed.
Right.
It can lead to people giving up on God.
Mm.
But however, on the other side, disappointments in our prophecies, when prophecies don't manifest as we expect,
right.
This can also be an opportunity
okay.
to deepen faith,
right.
to reevaluate one's understanding about that particular prophecy.
Okay.
It gives a chance to engage in deeper study, reflection, prayer, meditation, and also to seek a clear understanding of the prophecy and its implications. You can seek guidance from religious leaders, engage in discussions with fellow believers to gain new perspectives and vantage points. And it gives you an opportunity to go back to God, because prophecy itself is the revelation of God.
Okay.
And so when God does not reveal himself in our expectations,
right.
it is an opportunity to go back to him so that he can reveal himself he's supposed to reveal himself.
Yeah.
So disappointments give appointments to go back to Jesus. So that we can reevaluate, as the Millerite movement did.
Yeah.
Some of them actually went back to the text.
Right.
To see, maybe we went wrong in what we were expecting. What are we supposed to actually see? Are there some details that we are missing? And so actually it helps actually in going back to God so
right.
that God can give us more light, and how we can use that prophecy and see how it can lead us forward, and also how it can help us in our walk with God.
I suppose the inverse applies, that the realization of prophecy strengthens then faith by confirming the divine nature of the message. Is that the case?
Come again?
Does the realization of a prophecy strengthen faith by confirming the divine nature of the message?
For sure. The realization of faith can indeed strengthen faith by confirming the divine timing and purpose.
Mm.
When a prophecy comes to manifestation, it can serve a powerful affirmation of faith. You know, it can provide a sense of validation, reassurance that there is a higher plan that is working. You know, the fulfillment of a prophecy can be seen as evidence of the divine involvement of God in human affairs, reinforcing the belief that there is purpose and order to the universe. It can inspire a deep sense of joy, wonder, strengthening the conviction that the divine is actively guiding and shaping events, you know, in accordance with greater plans. So, all in all, the realization of prophecy can also give a sense of hope, encouragement among believers, reminding them that their faith is not in vain.
Yes.
And that there is meaning and significance in their spiritual walk with God.
Yeah. I hear you. So now then there's the issue of ambiguity. Can ambiguity in prophecies lead to diverse interpretations within the church? And how is this diversity managed?
Yeah, for sure. Because of ambiguity, there's openness for interpretation.
Right.
And therefore, people will have different interpretations, diverse views of prophecies.
Right.
And now, we can alleviate this problem by first identifying the very problem.
Okay.
Because I think the knowledge of the problem gives birth to the knowledge of the solution.
Oh, okay.
When we realize that hunger is the problem, hunger will suggest for itself that food is the solution.
Uh-huh.
And so now, the realization here is diverse interpretations of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning the solution is to harmonize it and to come up with one standard of interpretation. So I think we can alleviate this problem of diverse interpretation by upholding one standard of interpretation. And the first key is the Bible. The Bible itself interprets itself. One writer says the Bible is its own expositor.
Okay.
So sometimes we end up having different views, different interpretations, because sometimes writers, scholars, and other people who are prominent try to use their own logic. They right. go beyond the Bible.
Right.
They use their own logic and fit it in the text so that it can make sense.
Okay.
But we must come to a place where we use the Bible as the standard of interpretation, because, you know, sometimes what we don't find when we are reading the book of Revelation can be found in the Old Testament prophecies.
Okay.
So that's why Ellen White says the safest way of interpreting prophecy is comparing scripture with scripture.
Right.
And not scripture with human logic.
Yeah.
So we must not only relegate prophecy to the book of Daniel or the book of Revelation, but prophecy goes way back into the Old Testament.
Okay.
With prophets Isaiah and Amos. So as you read through Amos, you can find a missing gap that you are looking for in the book of Revelation.
Right.
So the Bible interprets itself.
Okay.
There are sections in the Bible that have figurative language.
Okay. Are you still there, Pastor? Ah, that line. That line has dipped. Are you there, Pastor?
I'm here.
You got cut there, Pastor. Can you just repeat the part you were saying there? You got cut there for a moment. So please repeat what you said, because we missed it.
So I was saying, as Ellen White indicates, the safest way to interpret scripture is not with human logic,
right,
but to compare scripture with scripture.
Right, right.
Because the Bible is its own expositor. You don't have to go beyond the Bible and bring your own logic.
Right.
And so the prophecy cannot only be relegated to the book of Daniel or right. the book of Revelation. No, it extends way back into the Old Testament.
Right, right.
So when you read the Bible in fullness, you'll be able to get answers. They are provided there.
Okay.
The only problem is that we do not desire to take that step. But when you read the Bible prayerfully, faithfully, the Bible answers itself.
Yeah.
What is not there in the book of Revelation might be fully explained in the book of Amos, in the book of Isaiah.
Yeah.
So as Ellen White advocates, let us read the Bible in fullness and we shall find the answers there. And when we read the Bible in fullness, it means we shall have one standard of interpretation.
Right.
Therefore alleviating the different and the many other interpretations of prophecy, and therefore we'll come to one understanding which is the Bible itself, yeah. explaining itself. So these are the principles and the keys that we must follow when interpreting prophecy. Use the Bible and the Bible alone.
Right.
The Bible answers itself. When you don't find it in Revelation, go back to the Old Testament prophecies. They have something for you that will give light to what you didn't find on the other part.
Indeed. Okay. And then comes the issue of personal interpretation now. Can the perception of a prophecy being personally relevant contribute to a more profound connection to faith and fullness?
Your perception of prophecy being personally relevant can indeed be good contribution, more profound connection to faith for many believers. When prophecy is perceived as personal, okay, when it is perceived as of personal significance,
right,
it can deeply resonate with an individual's spiritual journey and beliefs. You know, it brings about a stronger sense of connection,
right,
you know, to their faith in different ways. When prophecy is perceived as relevant to one's own life, it can provide a sense of personal validation,
right,
and affirmation. This can lead to a deeper belief in the divine's involvement in their life, and also a stronger sense of being guided by a higher power.
Okay.
So the perception of a personally relevant prophecy can also serve as a source of spiritual guidance.
Okay.
Okay. Offering insights, a direction for navigating life through its challenges, and also making decisions.
Mm.
So this can lead to greater reliance on faith and a deeper connection to the divine.
Okay. And here's my final question, Funes, and I'll let you go. How do believers navigate a healthy skepticism? I mean, I'm one of the people who have been found to be excruciatingly skeptical. So my question is, how do believers navigate a healthy skepticism without undermining their faith in the reliability of prophetic messages?
Okay, so I love how you put it, a healthy skepticism,
right.
So with the word healthy means there must be a balance,
right?
That we must strike, because you know Christians, actually I advocate for Christians to be thinkers.
Okay,
they must stay hungry for more.
Yeah,
they must not be comfortable and be conformed with what they already know.
Right.
But they must continue to seek for new light every day in every way.
Right.
But then there must be a balance there. So there are some people who believe that reasoning is an enemy of faith.
Okay.
But I beg to differ, because I think these two can work together. They actually work together. They are actually partners.
Right.
Reason is not an enemy of faith.
Yeah.
I think the more you reason, the more faithful you will become.
Mm.
Yes, because unless you are reasoning outside the perimeters of God,
right?
But if you are reasoning within the perimeters of God and what God has offered for us,
right,
I think our reason will make us to become more faithful. I think that's why God gave us the freedom to think, to choose. He's giving us a space of thinking. So navigating a healthy skepticism without undermining faith of prophetic messages can be a delicate balance for believers. In some ways, believers can approach this by critical thinking. Encouraging believers to engage in critical thinking, discernment can help them to navigate a healthy skepticism.
Right.
This involves evaluating messages and thoughtful, analytical, mindsets are required. Just as Paul places it in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5,
right,
27, he says that we must learn to test everything. And then after testing everything, we must stick to what is good.
Yeah.
Okay. So we will only realize what is good when we test it. And then we will have, the remnant of what is good. So we must also, when we begin to reason, we can also consider the context, the source, the consistency of the messages that we are being given.
Right.
Seeking confirmation. Believers can seek confirmation of prophetic messages through prayer, meditation, seeking counsel from trusted spiritual leaders or mentors. This can help them validate their own authenticity of messages and discern its alignment with their faith. Understanding the nature of prophecy.
Yeah.
Educating believers about the nature of prophecy within their tradition can also help them. This understanding can help believers approach prophetic messages with relevance, while also acknowledging the potential for interpretation and also human fallibility, as the case of 1844.
Okay.
So embracing humility is also a principle, encouraging believers to approach prophetic messages with humility. Can help them maintain a healthy skepticism without undermining their faith.
Yeah, yeah.
Recognizing that human understanding is limited.
Yeah.
And that prophetic messages may be subject to interpretation can bring about a balanced perspective. So, all in all, emphasizing personal relationship with God. Okay, this is the prime thing, emphasizing a personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
Encouraging believers to cultivate a personal relationship with the divine can help them to navigate, these skepticisms while maintaining faith in prophetic messages. This can involve prayer, as already indicated, meditation, seeking direct guidance from the divine so that God can permeate his knowledge and understanding in us, so that we can have the precision of thinking and mental equity as we navigate these prophetic messages.
I hear you. Got it. All right. Please pray for us as we close, Mfunes.
Sure. Shall we pray? Our Father who dwells in the third heavens, Your Majesty, King of Kings, we thank you for the privilege that you have given us on this platform to learn about the strengthening of faith and prophecy. Now, Father, in a special way, we have limitations as human beings. Whatever has been said and done may not be enough. But, Father, in a special way, we want to ask you that you may extend your hand and your knowledge, that everything that has been said may bear fruits in our hearts, and at the end of it all, the name of God will be glorified. May you give us clear understanding that as we move and traverse through the sea of life, we may not lose faith in you. We may not become doubters, but may you, in your own way, strengthen our faith and lead us to the light so that, Father, we may know that which you desire us to do. There are many things that we can ask, but we leave them in your holy hands. We pray all this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Mfundisi, thank you ever so much for your insights. Looking forward to our daily focus tomorrow after 2. Have a wonderful day, Mfundisi.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. That's how we move on to our next segment. We will be studying the lesson study for this week. Join us after Everton Mlalazi.